right, guys, thanks for downloading the PWCS Wrestling Podcast. I, of course, am the co-creator, co-promoter, co-owner of PWCS Wrestling. My name is Greg Jovai, and I'm super excited to be hitting your ears once again here with the PWCS Wrestling Podcast. I kind of thought about, you know, kicked around a bit. What am I going to talk about in the intro this week? I did a lot of fun stuff over the weekend, did play-by-play for Glory Pro. That went great. I feel like that gets better each time, and it's really good to be getting my commentary juices flowing again. That was always something I really enjoyed doing with St. Louis Anarchy. So the more I could do of that, the better. We also went up and Tito McGee actually is getting hitched here at the end of the month. So we went and had his bachelor party at the Pro Wrestling Revolver show up there. And that was a great time. But not a whole lot to hit on all that. A lot of fun stories, but I think I'll keep all that to myself. I figure if the point of this intro, which I've sort of nailed down, is to let you into my world and what it's like to be a pro wrestling promoter at this level. And I think the best thing to do is kind of talk about, okay, so we're 8 or 9 weeks or 8 or 9 days rather, feels like weeks sometimes, 8 or 9 days out of the last event, stage one, a huge success for us. A lot of really great stuff. You should be able to see that on Smart Mark here fairly shortly. I know Nameless Faceless Announcer is really working hard being a Nameless Faceless video editor at this moment. So, props to him for really trying to get a good turnaround and get that thing up on the website. But myself, you know, where am I at right now in the stage? You know, the best thing I could think of to equate it was imagine that you are an architect for a second and you put your heart and soul into this beautiful blueprint. You find all the great best people to help execute that blueprint. You get your hands dirty yourself with all those guys getting in there and you build the building and you want to take 2 or 3 steps back as they top it off and look at it and go, man, look at this beautiful thing that we built and rest. But you can't do that because there's a competitor building an even bigger building 2 feet away from you. And if you don't get on it, you're going to get left behind. And that's where I'm kind of at right now. That's where I'm always at. You know, these shows, I like to call them a show cycle. So this was the stage one show cycle. Well, as soon as the final bell rings on the main event and the last piece of that ring is put away, the show two cycle starts up right after that. So we're right into the stage two event cycle now. And you wish that there was a buffer zone there. You wish you had a week to sort of put your feet up and just not think about having to promote a show, but you can't do that because there's so much at stake. As I said, when that final bell rings, you have to go, okay, what worked? What didn't work? How does any of that change our plans for the future? Yeah, and each stage you're planning and it's like billiards. You have to think 3, 4, 5 shots ahead. And if something doesn't succeed, you got to think about how that affects your plan. And so that's the stage we're in right now. Reacts just came out. The ticket website is waiting to be approved by Brown Paper Tickets, which seems to take longer and longer by the day. So yell at them if you are wondering why you cannot buy tickets for June 16th yet. But we have a lot of really great announcements coming this week. We'll announce the main event here in a few days. And a lot of really great stuff is going to be on that card, guys. Go ahead and circle June 16th as the next date for PWCS Wrestling Stage 2. I will go ahead and break down. We have Marty Bell on the book, so she will be coming in for the first time in a non-NWL role, and she will be wrestling at Stage 2 in a free agent showcase match. So lots of really fantastic stuff. That's just the very, very tip of the iceberg for what we're going to have that night. And so here we are, guys. We're going to be here talking about the first ever championship spectacular. We let a little bit out last week. We're going to finish out the undercard here, and then I decided to give the championship match its own episode because the audio, I think, is really great, and also that's such a turning point for us. I mean, if that match would have been shit, our entire thing is different. We talk about the butterfly effect here a lot. If you look at that, then our history would be completely different if it wasn't as great as it was. And we'll talk about who all really deserves the credit for that. And that whole match will be its own episode. So this week, we're going to break down things like the Adam Rich character. We're going to break down that fun match with JD Riggs, the Viking War Party, kind of going rogue and having a Anarchy Rules match with what is now the besties in the world. So sit back, guys. Enjoy this audio. I'll come at you again at the end, as always. Hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you real soon.
So anyway, enough about the backstage and things that we will get to, clearly, because now that he's a part and we've already leaked out the name, spoiler alerts, Casey Carrington will show up at the show some point. But we have this one still to go. We haven't even gotten like halfway through with the mega ticket, or not the mega ticket, the championship spectacular.
Championship spectacular, as we terribly named it.
Yes, just like the first Super Bowl was just the championship for the NFL. This one was the championship spectacular. But we still have much more to go, including the actual name talent that was promoted on all of the flyers that we passed out in front of Scott Trade Center, with Colt Cabana taking on Dan Walsh.
First of all, shout out to Dan for promoting that. This Dan with me right now.
Yes.
For that night that we handed out flyers, you were like a fucking carnival barker out in front of Survivor Series. You literally was like, Colt Cabana here, Colt Cabana.
Hey.
Like,
well, I mean, you've literally said it that, you know, that was the whole point of the first championship was you wanted to get a name and you wanted to use that name to draw in people. And you're out in front of, what was that? Was that Survivor Series?
That was the Survivor Series where Sting debuted.
Yeah, interesting. That you're out there in front of a whole bunch of casual fans who, you know, they might know about Colt Cabana. And it's like, you know, people are like, oh, live pro wrestling in Granite City. And I'm like, dude, Colt Cabana's on the flyer here. His name is right here. I'm just like, fuck it. Colt Cabana. Hey, you guys like Colt Cabana? CM Punk's buddy, you know? He was still around at that time.
That was when he was white hot. You know, like, kind of, it wasn't really, like, directly off of
the high Cabana thing.
But he was still kind of riding that high of being known to the WWE audience. It was a name that they would know. And so I think that might have been part of another thing that led us to him was like, okay, he's got this sort of fresh buzz from a casual audience. So they might even recognize him on top of all the indie people that recognize him too.
Right.
And so, yeah, this match was another one where I told you when we watched it, I couldn't believe that no one had ever booked it. It was just I can't think of a more perfect pairing of two individuals than Dan Walsh and Colt Cabana. Because Dan Walsh can be funny, but Dan Walsh also knew enough that he knew the humor was not, you know, he could jaw jack with Colt, but he knew that he had to be the straight man in this scenario too. Right. And that he was the butt of the joke. And I knew that he would be fine being the butt of the joke. And that they would be able to have a hilarious match, and that it would be something that a casual fan would love. Because it's got a little bit of everything. You know, this is the match that you could bring your girlfriend to that hates wrestling, and she would walk away loving it. Because you got Dan Walsh, looks like Dan Walsh. He's a beautiful man.
Yes,
you got Colt Cabana, is charming, and they're both hilarious. And you don't have to like people getting beat up to watch that match.
No, not at all.
But it's also a good enough scientific match that it can hold your regular audience. And so,
or your indie wrestling fan, you know.
Yeah.
People who are there for the five-star matches and whatnot.
Exactly. And so I thought that it was just on paper. I couldn't believe that like Metro Pro Wrestling or something hadn't booked these two together, because it just seemed like a perfect pair. I even remember telling Dan, you know, hey, it's going to be you and Cabana. And he was like, oh my God. He was so thankful, because he was like, that's always the guy. He's like, I'm not the kind of guy that can go in there with anybody and have a great match, but I know I can have a great match with him. And I was like, I agree. So that was immediately, as soon as we booked Colt, we knew we had to diverge from the path of Stephen Kennedy, because we knew, you know, Colt's whole shtick is sort of making his opponent look silly. And we were like, we can't be building Stephen Kennedy up and have this big name come in and make him look silly.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So we had to divert to a heel. And so Dan was going to go twice for us before the Jimmy Jacobs thing happened, which is another fate situation, because Dan had a huge lung infection and barely could make it through this match.
Oh, wow.
There's even one point where it's the leg drop spot where Dan comes in, goes for a leg drop. Colt comes up selling like he doesn't realize Dan's trying to hit him with leg drops. And he keeps missing. Dan running back and forth on that, you see him get slower and slower, and he's just sucking wind, and he's blown up because of this lung infection. He hits down, and he's sucking wind, and he leans over, he tells Colt to go home. And I remember Dan coming back through the curtain, and he's like, man, I got blown up, and I told Colt that we had to go home. And he was like, okay, well, let's just do this, this, and this. He's like, and I think it back. That was the whole rest of the fucking match. He tricked me into doing the whole rest of the match.
That Colt Cabana is definitely a tricky one. Pointing up, getting him to look up, and smacking him in the face, all that jazz. regular Colt Cabana shtick, though.
There's a lot of really cool banter in this match. I was really happy to be a part of it. I'm always really nervous about how I book myself because I don't want the fans, or this time I didn't want the boys, to think that I was just trying to get myself in there with names.
Right.
And so I was kind of like fuck, I'm going to be with both of the guys on this show. And I was really, yeah. I was kind of upset about it, but.
Versus one and escorting the other.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I was like, well, Dan's my guy. Like, why wouldn't I go out there with Dan? It wouldn't make sense for me to not go out for this match.
Oh yeah.
And so, and it ended up adding a little bit to it. You know, we had some fun in that match with me, and we did the distraction finish where I pop up and Jeremy Wyatt comes out with a chain, knocks Colt in the head, which we were able to use to build up to next year when we brought Colt back. So we kind of played back to that. But man, just a phenomenal match. Like, this is one I would suggest going to Smart Mark and buying this show, because I mean, top to bottom, this is, I used to tell people if they, you know, you could show them one, they would, I've been asked before on podcasts, if you could show people one of your shows to let them know what you do, what would it be? It would be this one. Yeah. Because, you know, I think we used the name talent perfectly to get over the guys that we had. We put on great stuff around the name talent,
mm-hmm.
so that the people that came in just to see Colt Cabana, or the people that came in just to see, well, obviously they, you know, didn't come in to see Jimmy because we didn't
nobody came
him,
in
but,
to see Jacob.
But the people that came in to see, you know, those people that we got in from Scott Trade Center that paid $10 to come see Colt Cabana, we wanted them to realize, oh, this whole rest of this is great too.
Yeah.
And we really, you got over the idea of the team sport thing throughout the night, and the main event comes together. And so this is one I think you got to see if you've never seen it. And this match, I think, is something you got to see because it's a second to last Dan Walsh match for us. And Dan's in rare form here, so
yeah.
The world's most dangerous
Dan.
As I will never forgive him for having to retire two shows after I had this idea. I was watching an old Monday Night Raw, and Ken Shamrock was out there, and Dan Walsh already had like 9,000 nicknames, and so I pushed very fucking hard for Dan's new nickname to be the world's most dangerous Dan, and I still think that's in the top five of ideas I've ever had.
It's still pretty good. Coming from definitely not the most dangerous Dan, I think that's a pretty good idea.
The world's 75th most dangerous Dan.
Something close to there. You really gotta round it off a little bit. So does he just change his nicknames like John Cena changes colors?
Oh yeah, he had the like Danimal. A seasonal thing. There was the Danimal, the leader of Danarchy when he was in the Anarchy champion.
Oh, okay.
He had all kinds of like Dan puns, and so I was like, man. That's fucking perfect. The world's most dangerous Dan.
Yeah, I only really knew the Danimal Dan Walsh. Until obviously I listened to commentary and started hearing the world's most dangerous Dan.
But yeah, I remember the Danarchy one. There was a few other ones. The Danaconda.
The Danaconda.
There's a few gimmicks like that to be had. So I thought world's most dangerous Dan was a solid idea.
Don't be surprised if I accidentally steal a couple of these for later. It's great stuff. But moving on, after all that, we have the six-man melee match. Now pay attention here. We got we have Alex Castle, the best vampire character in professional wrestling
of all time.
We have Ozzy Gallagher. We have Steve-O Reno. That's not one word, that's three apparently. We got who's the next guy here?
Chewy Martinez.
Chewy Martinez.
As I told you the story as we were watching it. Yeah. Jason and I both listened to an AIW podcast where John Thorne's like, I was at the after party and I just roll up on Texas deathmatch legend Chewy Martinez. And we were like, we fucking booked that guy. I did not know that he was a deathmatch legend.
Yeah. Hell, we didn't even know the music he was going to come out to either, which was surprisingly chill.
Comes out to How Far Is Heaven or whatever by Los Lonely Boys.
It was pretty great to hear, though, in all honesty. But anyway, that's four of them. We still got... Who else we got? Okay, we got Jeff Gant.
And we've covered Jeff Gant and his entirety.
The curious creature that is Jeff Gant. And the last one here on the list for the six-man melee would be Justin D'Air.
As you kind of pointed out a few times as we watched this, we had big plans for Justin, and it just sort of never came to fruition. Yeah. We won't spend a ton of time on this match. This was supposed to be... I fully remembered the idea that we talked about in the last show, where Alex Castle had been outcasted by Davey Vega from the Anarchy team because Vega had control there towards the end. Pierre, of course, never gets it back because he has to sell it. So Castle was kind of out there in nowhere, no man's land, and he was going to be a big part of the Billy McNeil Joker team that we that was before the Nikki Strychnine idea.
Okay.
So it was going to be Angela Slane, Billy McNeil, Alex Castle, somebody else weird, in this like weird person, Batman villain inspired team. And so we put him over here in this match. And the one thing that, that popped out at me was I remember I figured it out this night. And then but Alex Castle was sort of known as like the king of the multi-man matches. Like he would put together these multi-man matches that made sense and were quick. I mean, this thing was like 8 to 10 minutes and everybody had a cool spot.
Right.
It came off really well, even though these are six guys that probably never been in the ring together and all very different skill sets, but different types of folks. And he became really, really good at that. I remember multiple times at Anarchy, even after he retired, he would agent scramble matches because he just had a knack for putting them together.
Oh, nice. We got how exactly did this one end exactly? So it's got its cutoff finish.
Oh, well, this was sort of the continuation of my idea of Jeff Gant getting fucked off when he was going to dive in every match. So, yeah, he starts to get ready to dive. Alex Castles comes in, fucks him off, 1, 2, 3. And, yeah, so I was like, that was the dawning of my idea where every match that Jeff Gant was in, he would just get creamed when he was going to go dive.
Early version of the no dive zone from 205 Live.
You're welcome, Drew Gulak. You're welcome.
I do find it funny that we did just finish watching this and I already forget. Like, oh, who's winning these things? Oh, yeah, this is how great my memory is. It's why we watched these again. Not just so that way we can tell you about it, but because I have no idea from time to time whatever the hell's going on. But after this, we have four, actually, of my favorite people within PWCS for sure. We got the Viking War Party, Alex Rudolph and Jake Parnell, versus team of Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett. Not quite the besties right now. They are the Cobra Kai Dojo.
They were the Cobra Kai Dojo, which obviously is a Karate Kid reference.
Right, yes.
So I told somebody this story. I think you might have been gone, so you might not have been there for this.
No, I was still there when you told it last night.
But
yeah.
So this is not my story to tell, so I don't know if I'm telling it wrong or if however it may go. But this is a Chris Goff tale. Maybe if I get my NWL boss on here, he can talk. But from my understanding, the Cobra Kai Dojo was what they were in at Metro Pro, and they constantly were talking about their trainer, and it built up to. Eventually, Dingo came out with them, and they did a six-man, and that was like their dojo trainer.
Uh-huh.
What people apparently don't know is that that was supposed to be a red herring, and the finish of that match would be there would be a ref bump, and Ralph Macchio would come out and sweep the fucking leg for the finish of the match. Apparently, it was like on the books, like on the verge of happening, and then the guy decided he didn't want anything to do with wrestling, but... I like that's fucking hilarious because number one, that's a fantastic idea. Number two, I mean, Ralph Macchio doesn't want anything to do with professional wrestling. Like, what did it not work with your schedule at Target? Like, what else are you doing? Like,
couldn't get vacation off from Applebee's?
Yeah,
that's the joke I really love hearing all the time.
Couldn't get the night off at Kmart, so I can't come sweep the leg for Metro.
But the match at hand here with the Cobra Kai Dojo. Now, Fitchett was very adamant that this should be an Anarchy Rules match.
Fitchett was fucking amped. Number one, he was amped to have this match because I don't think they crossed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came up with Alex, so he was very excited about getting to work with Alex and work with the War Party. And he was excited that it was my first big show. And so all of that led to him having this, like, need to have the shit beat out of him. And so he was like, we got to make an Anarchy Rules. Like, we got to get tables and chairs, and I just want to go wild. And as apparently happens in the universe, I was just like, okay, do whatever you want to do, to the point that they went on a pilgrimage trying to find a wooden table, couldn't find it, and Tito McGee comes back and has bought them, like, four steel chairs to destroy. And so, God damn it, they had an Anarchy Rules match, and the dawning of this match is because it was originally supposed to be the blow-off for
the squad, the Team Anarchy angle, where it was squad proper, Pierre Abernathy and Evan Delisco, and they were constantly at odds with Davey Vega and Matt Fitchett, and their team couldn't get on the same page. And so this was supposed to be the end of that. And they were going to go on to separate things, but then squad proper and Gary J got booked at FIP for the same weekend, and they had to cancel. And so it left us kind of shaking in our boots, because this was in the midst of before we have all the names booked and everything, and we're just like, man, that's Gary J is one of the main is the main ego bus. He was supposed to be the guy that took the final fall.
Oh yeah,
I wanted the finish of the main event to be a samurai driver off the top rope to Gary J.
Ooh.
And so that was out the window, and you know this was our second most promoted angle was these two teams.
Yeah, yeah,
so
for
we
sure.
Were like, fuck, like we really thought we were in a huge bind, and so we put on this as kind of a make good, and we said that, oh well, you know, the squad refused to sign the contract at the last minute and sort of bitched out of the match was the story we put out online through the Series Insider, and so it worked. So we just said, you know, Viking War Party stepped into the. To the match and
never one to turn down a challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Viking War Party. We still booked it as Team Anarchy Explodes because they'd been at Team Anarchy for one show before.
Hey, it works.
Man, these guys went out and did it all. Like, I'm so happy the way we structured the card because, you know, if you have eight matches, we normally would put four on one half and four on the other. We knew that the main event was going to go really long, so the back half of this card was just the Boss Man match. The pre-main sort of match, and then the main event and this tag match. And, man, these guys fucking tore the house down almost 30 minutes and just did everything under the sun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so happy that the main event came off the way it did still because I was afraid watching this, like, man, like, JoJo's going to have to shoot fucking Jimmy Jacobs with a gun to come even close to what they just did.
So. Yeah.
But man, they do fucking everything. This is the famous Matt Fitchett thrown into the wall spot.
Yeah.
So he gets gorilla pressed by Alex Rudolph, now Herzog, and just chucks him out of the ring into the stone wall of the YMCA because it was that close. But, I mean, I remember being, there was a window that we could watch through at the Y.
Yeah.
And I was on the other side of said window. You know, I had my hand on the wall. And the entire building shook when Fitchett hit the wall. Like, I wouldn't have expected that. But dude hit that wall, and I couldn't see it from where I was at, but I felt it. It felt like an earthquake on that wall.
Yeah.
And so I know he hit that fucking wall pretty hard.
It definitely made a splat.
And still got up to be chokeslammed through a set of chairs and win the damn match.
Yeah.
So this is probably one that Dave Meltzer would fucking... Or Dave Meltzer haters would crap all over, I guess, because you had a guy getting up after basically being murdered. But, man, I mean, watch it back. It was incredible. I think we have it out free on our YouTube. And so if you haven't seen it, go seek it out if you want to see Matt Fitchett get obliterated into a wall.
Yeah, there were also a couple other things that kind of happened. Scott called the match a little bit early.
Yeah, so Tito McGee, there's a spot that I really like that if you're listening to this, besties, you need to bring back. They put Jake Parnell into a powerbomb position on Alex Rudolph in the corner. Rudolph starts to walk out, and they super kick his legs out from under him to make him powerbomb his teammate.
Uh-huh.
They pin him 1-2, 2.5 kick out, and Tino McGee thinks it's the end of the match. So he announces, and everybody's waving him off, like, no, no. So he announces, here is your winner. Wait, no? What? And that's what you hear audible. And he is the kind of guy that beat himself up for that probably for weeks, but really ended up adding to the match because they had, you know, had so many near falls and done so much stuff. And you're well after the 20-minute mark at this point, and it was sort of like, wait, that's not the end? Like, is the way it came off. So I don't think it killed the match, and it didn't look like, you know, a big deal. It wasn't like, you know, I mean, the first time I ever did ring announcing, I called Davey Vega Davey Richards multiple times. So I did not fault old Tito for that at all.
No. There was also a little thing that was kind of a little bit weird whenever you were watching the match. Matt Fitchett just kind of, just a handful of people getting some weird boos in on Matt.
And this was, again, sort of the first time the Anarchy crowd had really ventured out to us.
Oh, yeah?
So I think that had the most to do with it. Because for some reason, back remember we play EWR and it was like, you're pushing this guy too hard. The crowd is rejecting him.
Sure.
I think that's what was going on at St. Louis Anarchy with Matt Fidget. He just got pushed really hard and he hadn't really evolved as a character. He was still just kind of a guy that likes to drink and have fun. And I think the crowd just did not like it for some reason. And they booed him. He was like the John Cena of St. Louis Anarchy for a while until he went under the Devereaux mask and came back as kind of this badass, like, you know, changed person. That really won a lot of them over. And now Paco is the new Matt Fidget, which is ironic that they have this sort of rivalry throughout PWCS. But, yeah, so I think that was a reason for that. You hear the same thing with Devereaux. This was the show that I talked about a few podcasts ago where Devereaux comes out and he gets a massive set of boos, and I'm just like, all right, Devereaux's getting over. And then I realize, oh, wait, no, this is just all the Anarchy people that know it's clearly Matt Fidget.
Ah, gotcha. After that hell of a match that the now besties and the Viking War Party put out, obviously you got that little bit of a downer time before the main event. We only got a few matches left here, folks. I mean, this one you got J.D. Riggs taking on, but if I can say, it's probably one of my, a little bit of my favorite character, one of the cooler dudes, Superior Adam Rich.
I said while watching this, and I will say it again, Superior Adam Rich is probably my greatest personal creation.
Yeah.
because everybody else that comes in as a character. And they don't, you know, no one, there's not a whole lot of times I get to really create a character.
Right.
The way that, say, Chris Goff, books, and Matt Jackson booking NWL, they get to take these kids from the performance center and mold them into what they want them to be or help them find themselves, really. Sure. And that's what I really feel like I did with Adam Rich coming back. Adam Rich had wrestled, a lot, and he had kind of weird little niches and stuff. He was most over as the guy that would come out in an American tights to the America Fuck Yeah song from the Team America World Police. And that was kind of like the height of him at that point. And he had gotten over with that. And I remember him coming back and he started helping out around shows and stuff. And this is also around the time that, KC's coming back. And obviously we've taken care of and kind of remolded Kennedy. And so they were all kind of in a friend group and worked out together and stuff. So and he started hearing good things and started to get the itch. And I remember him talking about coming back. And I was like, okay, well, like, but how do you fit in? What do you want to be? And this is at the time that he was very strict into paleo, and he was very hardcore about nutrition and working out. And I remember he was like, I don't think I want people to know it's me, and I think I would really like to wrestle under a mask. And this was the first person that I really sort of, like, not stood up to, because it wasn't like it was a fight or anything, but it was the first time where I was like, that's not going to work, because you're not the type of wrestler that wrestles under a mask. The guy that would wrestle under a mask, you have to get over with athleticism and flips, and that was just never way that he worked.
Right.
And so I told him, I was like, look, what is it that, when you make Facebook posts, because he would always get heat online, like he would post stuff about paleo and, working out and all that kind of stuff, and people would hate it. Like he would get into fights with just random people on Facebook because of his posts.
Oh, I thought he was just, in the grocery store, and he's like, oh, man, I'm all into paleo. No, really? I'm going to fight the shit out of you.
No, he would post it to where he wasn't trying to be argumentative, but it came off that way. And so, he was just very opinionated, I guess.
Yeah,
so sometimes
sure.
when you're very opinionated, people that have the opposite opinion don't like it. And I thought, I was like, dude, you just got to take that to the ring. I was like, because I don't care what the fuck you wrestle like then, you're going to get over, and it's going to, because there's going to be people in the crowd eating nachos and drinking soda and they're not going to like it. And you're going to have instant material every time you come out. And I mean, he was very, against it because at first I had to convince him to take the character because he was like, I think this is a real message. He's like, I really believe this stuff and I don't want people to, maybe there's somebody in the crowd that's thinking about making a health choice that's positive, and I don't want them to say, I'm not going to make that health choice because of this asshole telling me to do it. And I was like, it's valid, you know? I was like, but this is, like, this is how, if you want to come back, this is the way I think it's going to work.
That is kind of how wrestling works, though. Yeah. In general, it's like you just take yourself and then you just amp it up a whole bunch. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense for him to be all about this whole paleo thing and all about this whole working out stuff. And then you just bring that with you out to the ring and you just throw that out into the crowd and see how it sticks. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I remember when he finally agreed to do it and then he went all in. And I remember the first time before this was his debut. And he did a video at Thanksgiving and a video at Christmas, just talking about, you know, how what he would be eating at those holidays. And I remember seeing them and just being like, he did them in front of a green screen and they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, this is it. Like, we have something here. And I mean, I was super into it. And so we put him up against JD Riggs, because JD Riggs, big guy, had a big
very
belly,
big guy.
You know, and we were just like, this is the perfect foe for him. They were going to feud all throughout the next year. And unfortunately, JD Riggs no-showed the next one. He had to cancel. He did it ahead of time. But we sort of had to go another route, and we stopped booking the Iowa guys and stuff and just sort of got away from it. But the next match was going to be JD Riggs wins this match. So Adam Riggs is going to ask for a rematch and say that if he won the next match, that he would follow, that JD Riggs would have to follow his diet for 30 days. And if JD Riggs won, he would follow JD Riggs' diet for 30 days.
A diet versus diet match?
Yeah.
That's actually really neat.
That was the idea. And then, so he was going to drop that match too. And then we were going to film all these vignettes of
Adam Rich eating nachos and shit like that.
Yeah. I think it was, I don't remember if it was that or if it was the other way. I'll have to ask Jason, because it might have been the other way around, where was going to be, you know, that's what it was. All right. It was going to be, he was going to go over in that one. And then we'd film vignettes of him, like, cooking food for JD Riggs. And JD Riggs would be like, when he would turn his back, he would be eating bad food. And so then at the end of the 30 days, they'd lead to another match because he didn't follow the diet. And we had a whole fucking thing booked, man. That was a TV angle. Like, that was
that
probably
is definitely
more
a TV angle.
That was some NWL shit. Like, I don't think we could have really pulled it off the way that, that's a Raw angle. Like,
yeah. But nonetheless, sounds pretty phenomenal in my opinion. And it's a shame that you couldn't see that one completely off to fruition. But luckily, luckily you were able to see the championship match.
All right, guys, thanks for downloading the PWCS Wrestling Podcast. That's going to do it. We've talked about the entire undercard for the championship spectacular. All that's left next week is to get down to the nitty gritty. The first ever PWCS championship match featuring Mikazi, Jojo Bravo, Jeremy Wyatt, Jimmy Jacobs, so much. I get involved. Colt Cabana gets involved. There's so much to break down. We gave it its entire episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear about that. Just like I can't wait for you to join us June 16th, Saturday night. Huge matches. There's going to be a couple women's contests. Paco's going to be defending that Gateway Heritage Championship, and there's so much more for us to release over the next coming days and weeks. So stay tuned to the Facebook, the Twitter, YouTube. Check out all that stuff. Go check out Reacts on YouTube right now. Stay tuned, guys, and we'll see you right back here next week to talk about the conclusion of the first ever championship match. Thanks for downloading, guys. I'll see you then.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.